The 2003 Salt Lake Sunstone Symposium presents session 271. Has Mormon Studies begun to arrive? Visions, plans, challenges, impact. A panel featuring Doe Daughtry, Richard Sherlock, Dan Weatherspoon, and R. Dennis Potter.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody. This is session 271. Has Mormon Studies begun to arrive? Visions, plans, challenges, and impact. And before I start, I was asked to announce that there will be a dialogue reception for the new editorial team and the retiring team after this session at the Wrap of the Gavel from 6:30 to 7:30, and refreshments will be served. And I understand that they're going to be really fabulous refreshments. So, I mean, like... Oh, is it?
Yeah, this is weights and measures and wraps. So, the reason for this announcement is, we can kind of get up and let the hotel staff quickly set up.
Oh, okay, I didn't say that.
6:15, take our conversations to the hall.
Okay. All right. And I'll repeat it again at the end. So we'll go ahead and get going, just because we can't hang around in here. And I'll just go ahead and introduce each of our panel members. Starting with Richard Sherlock, PhD, Professor of Philosophy at Utah State University. I just found out that my thesis advisor went to school with him, which is kind of an exciting thing. I always love to meet people that know people I know. And then we will go to Dan Weatherspoon, who has a PhD in religion. He was raised in California, Sacramento, and in San Diego. He served a mission to Washington, and he graduated from BYU in philosophy and has a master's in religious studies from my program, and we share the same thesis advisor that he went to school with, and now has a PhD in religion from Claremont University. He's worked in rare books at a homeless shelter, has taught at Salt Lake Community College for many years, and in 2001, he became Sunstone editor and executive director. He's married to a wife, Lori, and they have two children. R. Dennis Potter is an instructor of philosophy, and he's the director of the Mormon Studies program at Utah State College. And then we have a new addition, and that is Colleen McDaniel, PhD. She's the Sterling M. McMurrin Professor of Religious Studies and Professor of History at the University of Utah. And so what we'll do is we'll go in that order, and afterwards that we're done, we're going to open it up for questions and, you know, some theoretical discussion.
Utah remains, not for long, but remains today, one of the few states in the nation where a student, an undergraduate student, cannot at least get some of the state universities get a degree in religious studies. Almost every state and union has religious studies at some of their state colleges. Now, just for example, at every one of the Cal State campuses, you can get a degree in business. You can get a degree in accounting. Only some of the campuses, looking on the internet at least, can you get a degree in religious studies? But that doesn't mean you have to go out of state to get it. You just attend one of the other Cal State campuses. In the Intermountain area, there's a small program at Wyoming. Montana had a program that was truly distinguished, and they kind of let it. So Arizona and Arizona State have distinguished programs. Colorado has a distinguished program. The programs vary, as they would, but we remain outside of that. We have never had one. Colleen can talk about her efforts at the University of Utah. I remember decades ago, Sterling McMurrin tried and failed, and we talked about the reasons maybe for that. But our story begins something around 3 years ago, when some of our alumni got the idea, we got the idea of talking to them about it, but they also got the idea of talking to us about it, of establishing a chair in Mormon Studies in honor of Leonard Arrington. Utah State University was his academic home for most of his major scholarly career. was where he did his major early work, both on Mormon history, but also in the period between Great Basin Kingdom and his appointment as church historian. He was working mostly on the economic history of the Intermountain West, not particularly Mormon studies, although he was doing Mormon studies for sure, but he was working up to a major work on the economic history of the Intermountain West. We took a look at that and decided that you just couldn't have a chair of Mormon studies kind of sitting out there alone. It had to be tied to something. It had to be tied to a broader program of religious studies. And so we are in the process of putting together a full-fledged program on religious studies. First thing you take a look at is what depth do you already have on your faculty? Who's doing what? Well, we have a course in sociology of religion. It's a good course. We have anthropology of religion and somebody who's really an expert in that area. We have a woman who does shamanism, technically it's called medical anthropology, shamanism, native religions, particularly in South America. Her book, The Gift of Life, is just an extraordinary piece of work on Native women healers in northern Peru. And they've been using this kind of hallucinogenic root in a healing ceremony for, no, San Pedro. It wasn't always called San Pedro, of course. But, so we have social sciences, psychology is ready to teach a course. We look at the history department, we have an expert on Ottoman Empire, which is a wonderful survey of Islamic civilization. We have a great course in history of Christianity. We have a course in American religious history. We've looked at our philosophy department. We have, of course, philosophy of religion. We have the advanced course that I teach called philosophical theology. We have a course in philosophies of East Asia. So we have a number of courses. It could be cross-listed into a religious studies program. So we started off in deciding we couldn't do the Mormon studies chair without starting with religious studies. So we have raised a significant amount of money, pretty much all we'll need, for an anchor chair in religious studies. We have not yet configured what that will be. You know, whether it'll be religion, culture, comparative, but we haven't yet configured it. But that chair is set in stone. We are in the process of raising money for the Leonard Arrington Chair of Mormon Studies, and that, what we will start off with is who we hire will be located in religious studies and a home department, we hope. The Leonard Arrington Chair, obviously, will be history and religious studies. That was Leonard's. I don't think Mormon Studies has to be tied to that. In fact, I think probably in most cases shouldn't be tied to that, but that was Leonard's work, and so that's our memory of him. We are, I would say, a month, started school, 6 weeks away from an announcement. We have a foundation online to support a position in Islamics. And to show you what my conception of the difference between our Ottoman Empire person who teaches a survey of Islamic civilization and a religious studies Islamics person is, I want someone to come out from an undergraduate course on, let's title it, the Islamic faith. I want them to come out understanding, having some depth of understanding why 1.2 billion people find their way to God in the pages of the Quran. That's not a question that is a historian's type of question. So that we're within a few weeks of making that kind of an announcement. We are on the trail of, in order to do this, the state, Utah, like every state, higher education system doesn't have any money to do new things. They can keep doing what they've done. If an accounting professor retires, they're going to replace him. If they can. But, so we're raising the money to do this. We are raising money for a position in modern Western religious thought, which would be interfaced with philosophy. We are going to be looking for funding for a chair in Hebrew Bible. With some sort of focus. Hebrew Bible would be the focus, but they would also teach Jewish studies. At the end of this process, and we don't frankly know how long it's going to take, but in a couple of years, let's put a time on it, 3 years, we will have the chairs in place to offer an undergraduate degree in religious studies for students who want it. And we have found that there's great receptivity to this, actually, in the community. You have to start early. You have to work with people. But our administration is committed to this. And we have the one funding for the one chair, but we haven't yet configured that. But the other one has just kind of serendipitously come to us through an old friend of mine, the Islamics, position, and the others will be coming along. And our hope is that we can offer a full-fledged religious studies program, religious studies major, the undergraduate level, with professors dedicated to that subject, and all these other courses we've identified in a relatively short period of time. And I welcome your comments and suggestions.
I'm excited to hear what's happening. That is amazing. It's great news. I've loved my religious studies education, and we need to be able to offer it here. I'm here, but I wish I was there. Up until about 8 or 9 days ago, I would have been there when Ann Taves from the Claremont Graduate University felt like she had to do this other obligation. Karen Torgerson, who's the Dean of Religion at Claremont, also regrettably couldn't come and speak to you. She's in Europe, and so they've asked me to speak on their behalf, and they've actually prepared words that I'll read from. I won't read everything for them. I want you to know, before we begin, though, that I am going to be up here as an advocate for Claremont and for the program that is there. I'm a graduate there with my doctorate there. It's a place where I really believe things get done once they decide to do them. It was a wonderful environment. Brian Birch, who's out here in the audience, is a fellow graduate student there. Mary Ellen Robertson, who many of you know, also went to Claremont. She's on the Sunstone board. It's a school where we don't know that we have had any impact from them interacting with us and throwing Mormon ideas out into the discussion. But there at Claremont, whenever I raised a theoretical approach or a this or a that that came from my Mormon background, and especially when I explicitly said, you know, Mormons kind of come at the question this way, it was a very affirming place. It was an exciting, wow, I've always heard that you guys had a pretty interesting theology. Your conservative church does not know that these things exist in your metaphysics or your past. Or, you know, what a great lesson you Mormons might have for us as we try to build regional economies that might be self-sufficient from the lessons, even your failures of the past. Thank you for being there. Welcome to the table. Teach us. And so it was a great school to go to there. So I'm an advocate for what Claremont stands for. I thought, before I get right into what Ann and Karen says, does everyone here even know where Claremont is? So I better tell you, just for those of you that don't. Claremont is almost exactly between Los Angeles and San Bernardino Riverside, right along the I-10 corridor there. It's in the Inland Valley Empire. It's right near Pomona, Upland, San Dimas, places like that. So it's in Southern California. And then you might have heard of the Claremont Colleges. What the Claremont Colleges are five undergraduate colleges. Most are liberal arts oriented, and one graduate school, that much like Oxford. You know, I'm a student at Pomona College, I'm a student at Ricks College, Claremont McKenna College, etc. And yet they're in such close proximity to them that they share libraries, they share a police force, they share resources, and sort of function like a large university as a, just a collection of smaller colleges. One of the nice things about the Claremont Graduate School, especially in the religion program, is just less than a mile away is the School of Theology at Claremont, which I think just got its name changed to Claremont School of Theology, right? Okay, so the Claremont School of Theology, I'll have to get used to that, is up there. And so there's neat chances to interact with ministry students, as well as, of course, the faculty in there, if we were able to take classes up there, and things like that. So that's a little Claremont orientation before I begin there. What Bill has just passed out for you is a statement from Karen Torgerson, who's the new Dean of Religion there. She replaced James Robinson, who just retired. He's the Nag Hammadi champion, the Q champion, so forth. Someone has a real great track in ancient studies, Institute for Antiquity and Christianity. The program I was in was Philosophy of Religion and Theology. They have an Old Testament program, a New Testament program, a Women's Studies program. They now have an American Studies, or what do they call it, the North American Religions Track program. So anyway, it's exciting. So let me just quickly hit a couple highlights here. I'll read the first paragraph out loud. The vision of the School of Theology at Claremont is to become an internationally recognized center for the study of religious diversity through expanding our doctoral programs to encompass the world's religions. The study of religion is the study of people, so you're getting a little bit of their philosophy here. The expansion of the School of Religion focuses both on the cultural regions within which different religious traditions interact and the religious traditions themselves as they bring together peoples of different cultures. Understanding worldviews means understanding the roles and influences of religions. The U.S. has become in this decade the most religiously diverse country, and although the LDS Church has influenced in significant ways on the course of American history, I guess we left off with D there, didn't we, Karen? And Dan didn't catch it when I looked at this. Politics, social life, only recently has the LDS Church been considered part of this diversity. So they're recognizing that we're a player who really hasn't played yet, and they're welcoming there. Let's get down to the bottom and talk about the specifics. I want to give you a sense of the movement that's already taking place so that you know as you go, and I'm advocating that you'll send your students there. One of the things I ought to say, first of all, is there's no way that anybody should see what Richard is doing or what Dennis is already doing at UVSC and Utah State and UVSC as really anything but complementary to what Claremont's doing, because those are undergraduate universities. This is a graduate university, so I can see nothing but a neat thing that if students were to come out of those programs, that they would find faculty members and mentors and a supportive community in Claremont if they were to pursue doctoral studies there. So as you think about writing checks, you know, that might be where you're drawn, you're torn, but certainly as a mesh in the world, if we think establishing Mormon studies is a positive thing, these three programs would mesh wonderfully. Anyway, so what Claremont's done so far, they've established a board of visitors, so down at the bottom of your page. It's a multi-religious, multicultural board of visitors who reflect the diversity of our region. The board of visitors represents a balanced mix of the world's religious traditions and diversity within religions, such as Christianity and Islam. Board members are respected leaders within their religious and their cultural communities who are also committed to building an academic community that is devoted to understanding religion, religious diversity, and the various issues and problems that arise between communities. And so on this board, they have a representative from the LDS Church, and his name is Keith Atkinson. I wish I had asked Karen a follow-up and asked more about Keith. Does anyone know who he is? Or tell me about Keith real quick. Okay. Okay, so he works for the church? Okay. But he's interested in the conversations that something like this would do. Great, great, great. So under this Board of Visitors, if you'll go next to the study of councils, what they've now done is established that Claremont councils on the studies of various religions. So they have an Islamic council, they have a Catholic council, they have a Protestant studies council, and now they have an LDS council that is committed to it. It's overseen by this larger board, but they are putting things together there. Just read through the goals of the council yourself, but it's everything from fundraising to identifying ways that Claremont can be and its scholars can interact with the community, help with projects, etc. The LDS Council at Claremont right now is chaired by Judge Clay Smith. It includes Mormon leaders and a representative from BYU. I believe it's Robert Millett. But it also includes, as you see down there a little bit later, well, actually, in February, the council hosted Richard Bushman, who many of you know. He gave a lecture, Was Joseph Smith an American Prophet, which enjoyed a standing room only turnout. The council had a dinner for him, and he was pleased that several delegates from Salt Lake City were able to attend. Professor Bushman has had lunch with students in the Religions of North America doctoral program, and my understanding is he did also join the LDS Council there. So he was impressed and felt like it was something he would lend his name and his wisdom to. Then the last part of Karen's thing I think we do need to look at here, it says, we plan to continue development process through a series of steps that will culminate in the establishment of a chair in LDS studies. They believe during the next calendar year, they hope to host two additional guest lecturers. They've already invited Professor Shipps, Jan Shipps, who many of you know. She will meet with faculty, students, everybody in September, and then they're planning another lecture for the spring. That fall 2004, they're planning to have a conference in October, tentatively titled Positioning Mormonism in Religious History and American History, in Religious Studies and American History. And then by spring 2005, they'd like to have at least the funds to pay for a visiting professor to come and sort of be on campus and kind of make a sort of preparatory kind of introduction probably to colleagues, not necessarily that this person would be it, but so that person would hopefully be someone who could advocate and sort of share a vision of what having a Mormon studies person on campus might benefit everybody else as well. So that's from Karen Torgerson, and her contact information is there. So if anybody has questions, please contact her about that general vision. Ann Taves has shared with me, and I'm only going to briefly touch on what she shared, but here's the more specific. With Richard and the Arrington chair, they're looking for someone in who's a historian of Mormonism. First of all, Ann says right here, before launching it, she didn't want this put out in her thing, because here's the tentative qualifier. Before launching into a vision of LDS studies that come up, we should emphasize that this is simply a sketch. Assumptions have not formally been discussed among everybody. That's less agreed on. We're not here ready. This isn't a job description that they're drafting. So all these qualifiers here. But right now, here's what they're thinking. Number one, ideally they'd like a scholar who specializes in history of the Latter-day Saints with training in American religious history. So instead of Mormon history, they're looking for someone who can do Mormonism but is also familiar with the wider context. Such a person will allow us to position LDS studies within a larger set of contexts, Mormon studies, American religious history, American history, and religious studies. And then she wants to speak to each in turn. The most interesting thing here is they distinguish between Mormon studies and LDS studies. They said, our working assumption is that the LDS studies should not be pursued in isolation from other movements and traditions that emerged in response to the leadership of Joseph Smith. In that sense, it would probably be more accurate to speak of Mormon studies at Claremont rather than the more narrower LDS studies. So there's a sense there that they want it to be much broader, and so perhaps the term Mormon studies will be what will end up being the term. They talk about positioning it within LDS, the Mormons within American religious history. They talk about the normal course load is four courses a year, and they thought that, for instance, the professor might teach one general course in American religious history as part of the larger faculty, but then they suggest, you know, just off the top of her head, other classes that might be wonderfully taught by this person. A course, for instance, on prophets and visionaries, certainly with this. A course on new scriptures. Perhaps church and state in U.S. history could feature LDS issues prominently while considering other key court cases as well. Religion and Sexuality in the U.S. might be an interesting course that would feature Mormons along with Shakers and Idas, others who had interesting arrangements in those areas. A course on religion in the American West might feature Mormonism along with other groups, Hispanic, Catholicism, Asian religions, etc., that make the particular region distinctive. And then they talked about perhaps having one or two very specialized Mormon studies courses for doctoral students. Along with the LDS Council, remember they have Islamic Council, etc., and so they're planning to hopefully have everybody be able to work together. They talk, Anne talks here about how they would probably want the Mormon studies person to be kind of a core faculty member within their North American history sort of thing, or religions of North America, their track there. But they were hoping that so that the Mormons could continue to do that, but then it would also want to do interdisciplinary work. There's a lot of things here. I talked about, but I hope I've conveyed a sense to you that things are happening there. I'll just tell you, I think these are people that can make things happen. I think if you want to watch Claremont, it's a place to do it. If you'd like to get involved, I hope you will. Look for that conference next fall. That's going to be exciting. And I'll save anything theoretical I have about what Mormons need to do to grow up and really be Mormon studies scholar, or be a religious studies scholar. I'll save that for later.
I really liked Paul Toscano's talk last night, and so I'm going to follow that format and answer some questions, 8 questions. Unfortunately, I won't have any phallic metaphors in here. these are the questions I think you might ask us. The first I think you might ask us is, what is UTSC? Well, it's a former technical college, a former community college, now a state college, and on its way to becoming a university. About 800 to 1,000 new students every year, and it's one of the fastest growing four-year institutions in the country. It's undergone a shift from vocational training, primarily trades, to education in liberal arts, which is by far the majority of FTE at UVSC. So the second question, what is Mormon studies? Well, or what is our vision of it? Religious studies, I think, is the academic study of religion. It doesn't presuppose the truth of religion nor its falsity. It embraces a diversity of views about the nature of religious practices and beliefs. In a broad view of religious studies, some apologetics and criticism count as a legitimate part of religious studies, but it's not the primary component. Religious studies is interdisciplinary. It includes disciplines such as philosophy, theology, anthropology, sociology, history, communications, comparative literature, classics, and there's probably others. Third question. So what is Mormon studies at UVSC? Religious studies at UVSC is primary. If we give a history of religious studies, but it is due primarily to the efforts of Brian Birch in the audience, and who really should be up here speaking instead of me. I just happen to be the Mormon Studies coordinator, and this is about Mormon studies, not religious studies. But religious studies really is what got Mormon studies going at UVSC, and it's always, Mormon studies will always be a component of religious studies. In the spring, we have a Mormon studies conference. We have the Eugene England Memorial Lecture Series. We've had faculty seminars on the methodological approaches in Mormon studies, and we've had other more informal extracurricular activities as part of our Mormon studies program. But also there's a curricular component of the Mormon studies program. We have classes called Mormon Cultural Studies, Anthropology of Mormonism, Mormon Literature, which started at BYU and was brought down by Dean to UVSC. And in religious studies, we have philosophy of religion, approaches to religious studies, sociology of religion, Western religions, Eastern religions, myth, magic in religion, as well as several special topics courses. Other courses in the works include some sort of course on theology, maybe history of Western theology or Christian theology, something like maybe philosophical theology, something like that, and courses on Judaism and Islam. Mormon studies at UVSC, or religious studies generally, is truly interdisciplinary. However, we want to make sure that in our program at UVSC, that as a sort of a special highlighted component of the Mormon studies element is the philosophical and theological. That's for obvious reasons, because we are sort of weighted, the areas of expertise are weighted in that direction. So how about question four? Why Mormon studies at UBSC? Well, Gene England, I think, would be a better defender of this. He's already given a really good argument for why UBSC is a uniquely, well, it has the features of a place where we could do good Mormon studies. I can give a better defense, but I'll try at least defending it somewhat. Utah County is Mormon, so it's inevitable that any religious studies program at UBSC would have Mormon studies as its element, at least informally. Either it's going to happen unconsciously or naturally sort of as part of the local culture, or it's going to happen consciously. I think it's better if it's conscious, if we do it in a planned way. And we already have wonderful resources for Mormon studies at UBSC. Among the faculty, for example, we have people like David Knowlton, thanks to BYU, Phil Gordon, Jen Walchris, Stephen Buell, among others, all these great faculty who have areas of expertise that relate to Mormon studies. And at UBSC, the students care a lot about Mormonism, and I think that they're better educated when they engage an issue that they actually are passionate about than when they engage one that they're sort of distant or apathetic about. I know that sometimes we think, well, maybe objectivity is a good thing, and so we should be distant and apathetic, but I just don't think education happens in that kind of context, and so I think that also provides us a good argument for why we should do Mormon studies. I think we'll have a better religious studies program if they're forced to be self-reflective. So what are the obstacles to religious and Mormon studies at UBSC? Well, they are many, and they are of two types, political and pragmatic. I can't talk about all of them, but I'll talk about the most interesting ones, the political ones. Conservatives, first, and I mean that term in an ambiguous way. There are several different means. Are afraid that Mormon studies will be a way to criticize religion. Religious studies generally be a way to criticize religion, and Mormon studies will be a way to criticize the Mormon religion and to indoctrinate students with sort of a naturalistic worldview. And liberals are afraid of indoctrination of a religious sort, and so we've been attacked from both sides. In fact, sometimes more from the liberal side than from the conservative side. But neither charge corresponds to reality. To be sure, someone studying religion might lose faith or even convert to the religion, but that's going to be due to personal circumstances and not the nature of the discipline. There's nothing intrinsic about an academic discipline that's going to make you lose your faith or convert. And of course, there are pragmatic obstacles, which we all know about with getting any sort of area studies program going, and that is centered around money. But that is political as well, because the people who might want to fund a Mormon studies program are going to tend to be Mormon, and they're going to tend to side, or they're going to tend to have the same kinds of concerns that I described conservatives as having. And I know that concern is involved in the background at Claremont. I don't know about Utah State University, and we definitely, we need money at UBSC. We always need a lot more money than we have, and we're looking into ways of fundraising, but I think that there is going to be some political obstacles because of those concerns. Sixth question. Is Mormon studies redundant in a state with CES, seminary, and institute? Religious studies, and hence Mormon studies, is academic and not devotional. Devotional study of religion assumes the truth of the religion and has fundamentally different purposes from an academic study of religion. BYU's religion department and UBSC's institute do a wonderful job of studying religion in a devotional way, but religious studies and Mormon studies at UBSC have a different purpose. There's room for both devotional and academic study of religion and Mormonism. Seventh question. Can a Mormon with a... I had this question at the Yale conference on Mormon history and philosophy. This is a little bit different than the question that was actually asked, but can a Mormon with a crisis of faith better deal with her problems at UBSC than at BYU? Religious studies is not intended to adjudicate faith or to solve its problems. Although both apologetics and criticism are part of religious studies, they're not its primary components, I've already said. To be sure, there will be more freedom to explore controversial issues at UBSC than at BYU. But this might be as it should be. Perhaps this is the point of the difference between devotional and academic studies of religion. However, I must admit that I believe that religious belief flourishes better in an atmosphere of intellectual freedom and diversity. With John Stuart Mill, I believe if all the views are expressed, then it's more likely that the truth will rise to the top. Or at the very least, one can better understand one's own religious faith by engaging in both devotional and academic studies of religion. We need to engage with contrary positions to our religious belief, because, as Joseph Smith said, by proving contraries, truth is made manifest. Okay, you didn't think there would be any theoretical content, but... So where are we going to go? What's the future at UBSC? Well, since I argue against the compatibility of free will and foreknowledge, it'd be wrong for me to answer this question with any confidence. However, I can tell you a little bit about my hopes for religious studies at UBSC. Ultimately, I think we should have a separate religious studies center with an endowed chair for religious studies and several visiting scholar positions, with at least one of these being in Mormon studies. We should have a religious studies major with the option of an emphasis in Mormon studies, and we should continue to support a religious studies conference in the fall and a Mormon studies conference in the spring. And now that's really optimistic, I think, at UBSC. I don't think that we're going to have a major as quickly as USU will get one. I do think that with the right political sense in the future, that is an achievable goal. Thanks.
When I first read about the possibility of this session in the preliminary schedule, I thought, oh, this is going to be like what happens when somebody wants to tell you about their dreams. And you say, I had this dream, and I dreamt, and you begin this narrative about how, you know, there was this cow flying through, and then I turned into a pig, and I ran away. And pretty soon you notice the person you're talking to is kind of falling asleep. And it's hard to listen to stories of academic politics, because unless you're in the academy and involved in all the politics, it's kind of boring. However, it occurred to me that if you're in this room, you might be actually interested in the academic politics. And so the second thought I had when I saw this session was, well, this is like all about me. This is like Colleen McDonnell, Shirley McMurrin, endowed chair in religious studies at the University of Utah. What have you been doing for 14 years? What has been going on up there? Where is the Department of Religious Studies? Where are Mormon studies? What's up? So I had to sort of think about, a variety of different things. And, well, what have I been doing for the past 14 years? And what is going on? So hopefully you won't all fall asleep when I tell you about my dream, which sort of mostly is a nightmare. And so maybe it'll be kind of interesting. Now, very recently, the 1st of August, there's an article in Deseret News about what's going on up at Logan. And of course, I'm very interested in it because we're always interested in what the enemy are up to, right? And there's a line in it that says, the University of Utah tried not once. Now, mind you, it didn't say Colleen McDonnell, but I'm happy to hear it was the whole university. Not once, but twice, several years ago, to establish such a program. Religious studies program. But one, internal politics. And two, polarization within the faculty over the role of research and teaching about LDS Church scuttled the effort. So as a good historian, historians are always correcting things. We like truth. I'm going to give you the truth about this. First point, internal politics, absolutely true. The reality of a modern university is that universities are not about learning, they are not about teaching, they are not about research. They're really very much about money. And most importantly, and this is so important for everyone to realize, universities are moved by external forces, money and sort of needs of other institutions. And I'll give you an example of that because it helps understand why I failed to establish a religious studies program at the University of Utah. One of my colleagues, an excellent colleague, a specialist in India, was successfully recruited by the University of Washington. He's now the Dean of International Studies at the University of Washington in Seattle. We had an opening in the history of India. And I went to our chair, and I said in the most, you know, subservient way that I can be, please, when you write the list of special fields to hire for this historian of India, just put the word religion in it. Because I was hoping that we could hire someone who did Hinduism. Duh, she says. No, Colleen. Why not? Because we need somebody to teach world history. Why? Because the high school teachers now in the state of Utah are required to have certification in world history. But, I say, religion is about the world, right? Right? Religion? World? No, Colleen. There is a specialty now in departments of history. You go and you get a graduate degree, and one of your exam areas is world history. So, Hinduism, religion, is put on the back burner. That's Colleen's thing. And what happens instead is you look for somebody who can also teach in our world history program. We hired a delightful scholar, Benjamin Cohen. He has a PhD from the University of Wisconsin. He's bilingual in Urdu and in English. He will make a fine historian, and he will never teach a course in Hinduism, ever, because he's not interested in it. And this happens over and over and over again. However, the real kicker is your, and I say this as you all being Mormons, your prophet has now an endowment named after him. It's the Gordon B. Hinckley Endowment in Mormon Studies, Religious Studies. Would anyone like to guess? In British Studies. This is a, depending on who you read, either this is from the web, or if you read a letter I just got from our dean, an either a $4 or $5 million endowment. Larry Miller of Jasmine Carthing, $1 million. Not for Mormon Studies, not for Religious Studies, but for British Studies. Now, this is not anything that our Department of English is particularly interested in. You all know that English departments do critical theory, post-structuralism, post-colonial stuff, all that PC stuff, it's true. This is going to be someone who's, you know, their mental image is from Oxford, who does Chaucer or Shakespeare. They had a black tie dinner with Senator Bennett, and it was called a proper English evening. So you're welcome, please, if you don't believe me, as also someone who's into material culture, I have all the pictures of my colleagues in, you know, my English, a position in my department to replace one of the most gracious and loving and bright men who I've ever met, Dean May. This is a position for historian of Utah / Mormon Studies. If you know someone who would qualify for this, and that means they have to be tenable in my department. It means they have got to have published at least one book with an academic press and have good, strong historian credentials. And I have a lot of copies of this ad. Please give the ad to your friend or write the Department of History and say, I know someone who'd be perfect for your job. This is how you build a program at a university. A fluke happens. The prophet gives $4 million. A saint dies. Something happens. And slowly these things are put together. So there's my, you know, sort of problems with religious studies. I can tell you more about what happened in the philosophy department and other places, but that kind of gives you a little feel of how internal politics, and not the LDS Church, not, you know, anxieties about Mormons. Most of us at the campus didn't speak much about Mormons. how that moves the engine of academic programs.
I just have a couple of comments before we open it up for questions and comments. I guess I'm kind of in the enviable position of coming from a very, very large institution that has a very, very large religious studies department. I just want to tell you a little bit about it. As you can see in the program, I completed my MA in religious studies at Arizona State University in December, and my department has worked hard for several years to establish a PhD program. We have an undergraduate and a master's program. Despite its importance to the university in respect to general studies offerings, its status, last I heard, is the largest, most comprehensive undergraduate program in the country of religious studies. It is nonetheless marginal in terms of funding. While to a certain extent this marginality continues in that no billionaires have given us millions of dollars the way they just did to the business school on our campus, September 11th changed the ways in which religious studies as a discipline is able to move about in the ASU and the global academic environment. Everyone came to us to get the answers as to how this thing could have happened. As a result, we have received seed money from Michael Crow, our new president, to create the Center for the Study of Religion and Conflict, and final approval of our PhD program, which, unless a house drops on me in the next year, I will begin in the fall of 2004. Despite our high LDS student population, we do not have a Mormon studies component. Richard Wentz, an Americanist, does occasionally teach a course on Mormonism from an historical and doctrinal perspective. However, my thesis, which looked at Heavenly Mother through the trope of iconography and iconoclasm, generated an excitement about Mormon studies in my department. As a result, I've been asked to develop a course in current issues in Mormonism that I'll teach this fall and in the spring so as to regularize it and get a course number so that it can be taught repeatedly. While this is a baby step compared to the development of a Mormon studies chair, it does signal a recognition at a very large public university of the importance of looking at Mormonism and its ability to impact social, cultural, political, and economic, in other words, every aspect of our secular life in the United States through its institutional and individual influence. This new interest in Mormonism not only enhances Mormon studies, but it also enhances the discipline of religious studies as a whole because it brings Mormonism as a field of study into the big arena, into the big picture of what religion in America and in the world is all about. And I think Ann Taves hit the nail on the head. Mormon studies courses can't just be about Mormonism or the history of Mormonism. It has to incorporate so many different elements, interdisciplinary, and it has to be placed in context with other religious traditions and all of that. So that's what I have to say. We have a fabulous, I was trying to write a list of our department, the members of our faculty, and we have someone in every area of religious studies. We have, Islamicists, we've got Indian religious specialists, we've got Jewish studies, we've got biblical studies, we've got Americanists and feminist studies and Native American studies. And we've got a great department, and the sky's the limit for them. What I think would be best is if you have any questions, if you'll come up here and use the microphone if you can, and that way we'll get it on this tape, and you can address your questions or comments to any of the members of the panel.
Do any of us have comments?
I want to make sure that somewhere along the line we could talk about some of the theoretical, how do we grow up as a tradition that could really handle
more
studies, but if you have specifics, let's talk about those now.
I'm going to talk about specifics. I've been concerned about the lack of something at my alma mater, the University of Utah, for a long time in the area of Mormon studies, and I personally viewed that establishment of the Gordon B. Hinckley Chair of English Literature, whatever it's called, as religious studies. British Studies, as a shot to the Mormon community to so they wouldn't have to do anything like that. Maybe it wasn't that. It sounds like it wasn't, but you're now advertising for a position which describes someone in Mormon studies. Someone who might fit that bill very well would be Susan Rue down at BYU. Now, maybe she's damaged goods. She's gone to BYU, but she's got a PhD from the University of Chicago, and I don't know if her book's out yet or not. But when we were talking about Mormon studies here, the things I heard were essentially history and maybe theology or maybe the study of the religiosity aspect of it. What about literature? What about music? And what about art? Do they fall into these categories at all? I don't know. And then last, Claremont, is it going to be a PhD program?
Yes.
Okay.
I hope they're
open. I think I mentioned when we were talking about the different classes that we have. We actually have a Mormon cultural studies class that's taught out of the communications department at UDS that I co-taught recently. And cultural studies, as you know, is very interdisciplinary, but it's certainly not, it's neither philosophy nor history. And although it may be philosophical time. We have an anthropology of Mormonism class. And in fact, actually, there are people in the English department who do folklore, and I think that they teach a special topics course in Mormon folklore. In fact, if I had mentioned all of the special topics courses that had touched on Mormon, that are Mormon studies, the count of Mormon studies, that would have been a much longer list, at least 10 more courses. But those are not courses on the books. They're special topics courses that where someone decides to teach it on a particular Mormon subject. And Mormon folklore is included in that. I'm sure that there have been courses in Mormon art and so forth. We have the Mormon Lit course, which is probably it's the first established course at BYU in Mormon studies, right? And it came down to UBSC when everything came down to UBSC. And obviously that's a central component. In addition to having the Mormon Studies, we have a Mormon Studies conference every spring. Last year, that Mormon Studies conference was the Association for Mormon Letters. And this year, the Association for Mormon Letters is going to have their conference at UBSC again. So we're actually having two Mormon Studies conferences at UBSC. One, this spring, it will be a conference on Mormon theology that's sponsored by the newly formed Society for Mormon Philosophy and Theology. It was formed this summer, the Constitution was hammered out, and officers have not been elected yet. But that society is co-sponsoring with the Center for the Study of Ethics and the Religious Studies Program, the Mormon Theology Conference. There's a call for papers out on that, and there will be flyers here tomorrow. I'll put them on the table in the back, but the papers, you just need to get them to me, and it would be by November 30th. In addition to that, obviously, the Association for Mormon Letters is having their meeting there again as well. So I think that it is definitely broader than just history and theology. It's much, much broader than that.
I just have to tell you that the new thing in universities is studies program, the blah blah studies program, and everyone is interested in having something which is the Irish American studies program, the Chicano studies program, the Asian studies program, which of course is different from the Asian American studies program. And in each one of these cases, a department has to decide how to fill the needs for the Asian American Studies program. And so as a department, we have to hire faculty. I mean, I don't want to be a naysayer, but I can tell you, I suspect that the Department of English at the University of Utah will never hire anyone who's a specialist in Mormon literature. And the reason is because I would suspect that everyone on that faculty would say that Jewish American literature, Irish American literature, the literature of the Caribbean, the new Indian diasporic literature, all of those literatures are more important than Mormon literature. Now, that's not to say that somebody couldn't donate at least. And in other words, in order to have somebody who makes $60,000 a year at a university, you have to have $2 million donation, because you can only use 5% of the money that the endowment makes from the market. Only 5% can be used to pay a salary. So if someone wants to donate $2 million to the Department of English to establish a chair in Mormon literature, and that person has got a PhD from Cornell or the University of Pennsylvania or one of the other Duke, one of the high-powered English departments, it'll work. But the Department of English is not going to try, when they're trying to hire somebody to do diasporic literature about India, they're not going to hire a chair who does Mormon literature. There's an academic hierarchy. And outside of the state of Utah, people don't think Mormons are all that important. That's the problem.
One is an omission on my part. Jan Shipps is our outside consultant, has been our outside consultant in establishing our religious studies program. And I thought I really had to mention that. Part of the problem, to be honest, is that we aren't producing, as a community, scholars who can be competitive for Mormon studies chairs. I will tell you, in our thinking about who will fill the Arrington chair, this is going to be a chair at a Research One university. They've got to be published with international publishers. I'm talking about Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, perhaps Illinois. Illinois is very solid. No qualms with that. But they've got to have, if you're thinking about a chair at a Research One university, you're thinking about more than one book, or a book and a whole series of articles that have been widely cited. And we have basically got two names on our list, and one of them, we basically got one name. There are two or three names on our list. One of them is, in 5 years could be competitive, but would be very competitive, but not now. They're not far enough along. We got the best, and I got to thinking the other day, in terms of the Claremont and in terms of this panel, where I went to school and her mentor went to school when we were graduate students at Harvard, place like Harvard, the money is out there for Harvard to establish a chair of Mormon studies. The money is out there. I mean, the dean of Harvard Business School, they know the people and they have the money. Some of them, I know personally, have them, could write out the check for $5 million or $10 million to set up a chair. But when you look around, who would you fill it with? Think. Who would you fill it with? Who has published with major publishers, maybe not a historian. Probably shouldn't be. We ought to get out of that mold. But who would you fill it with? To be perfectly honest, we aren't producing the kind of people that want to be in that world. And that's going to be a problem. We aren't producing the kind of people who can compete in that world. And if you compare the American Jewish community, they clearly are. But we aren't. This is true. We aren't. How can we? Yes, that would be a start, but they've got to be wanting to compete in that world.
Well, but they need to have somebody already there that can mentor them, and that's the problem.
Your
lack of mentors.
Well,
Okay. It's a dilemma.
But upsell is your future.
It's not. Maybe you don't write a dissertation in Mormon studies. And then maybe you make your professional reputation independent, but you maintain an anchor in Mormon studies. I will tell you a story, an anecdote. This is true. Okay. And I'm going to make it anonymous so that the person or the guy. I was on the program with Dennis at that Yale shindig. Dennis and I have very different theological and philosophical views. But I was riding the shuttle down from the Hartford Airport, which is where you get to New Haven. You can take a commuter airline, but it's expensive, isn't it? A little funny. I was riding down the shuttle, and I got to talking to somebody who was on the shuttle with me. It was a graduate student at a distinguished religious studies department. He came from BYU. And where he's getting his degree is an A-list school. There's no question about it. And he's doing American Religious History, and he wants to do Mormon history. And we were talking, I was asking what his career, we'd like to go back and teach at BYU. That's what he wants to do. Now, as long as you go to graduate school with that as your aspiration, you're not going to be preparing yourself to compete for a chair at Claremont. And it's not that he's at a B-list school, so he's in an A-list school. I will not mention the school, because I'd get back to the person that I that's the only time I've ever met this person. But he's in an A-list school, and he's preparing himself for a B-list career. And as long as you do that, you will never compete for A-list opportunities.
That may or may not be true. I know of one case where our B-list school in Provo went after a person who wrote an A-list dissertation, and the A-list person turned down. Even more than that.
I have a question. I'm an undergraduate student at UC Irvine. I don't know how many undergrads are out there. My wife and I are both studying in the history department there. I want to go to a graduate program in religious studies, and I have had two competing interests. One is in Japanese religions, one is in Mormonism. Especially in its 19th century American context. I have no desire to teach at BYU. I'm not interested in the devotional approach. And my advisor, who is the in charge of the religious studies program at UCI, has told me. She has strongly advised me not to emphasize the Mormon track. She said, hey, you can keep that as a secondary interest, but...
Your secret's
known. Exactly. Or as a hobby or whatever. But she has said if I want to be employable to focus on the Japanese religious studies. And so... I'm in a quandary. I love the study of Mormonism. First of all, I'd like to know where can I go where I can get an interdisciplinary methodological training in religious studies with an emphasis on Mormonism, or where there's somebody there in an A-list university who has Mormonism as one of their strengths. And I can name places where maybe history, I might be able to do that, but I can't think of any religious studies programs, interdisciplinary programs that have that. But, so I guess that's a question. Where can I go? And I don't know if there's any responses to those comments.
I think the problem was articulated earlier, which is this is a young field. And I think right now it is on the cusp of kind of opening up. So the answer, I think, for you, if you're talking about A-list schools, is really nowhere. There is no one at this point who is a full professor at an A-list school who publishes in Mormon studies. There are junior faculty who are desperately trying to get their PhDs published so that they can be promoted and tenured at A-list schools, who do work, who are interested in Mormonism but who have not produced PhDs in Mormon studies. And once they get tenured, they might get brave and go out and, you know, develop that program. But I don't think right now, and you guys correct me, I would say there's nowhere. I'm very familiar with this model because I work in Catholic studies. I mean, you know, Colleen McDaniel, he doesn't sound very Mormon, does it? And Catholic studies has very similar problems. You talk about the kiss of death if you have Mormon studies. That used to be the case with Catholic studies because religious studies programs, when you talk American religion, up until, I'd say, 10 years ago, that meant Protestants. Catholics don't have any. Catholics are just, well, they're almost as strange as Mormons are. And so you have a Protestant hegemonic discourse in religious studies programs, in American studies and American history programs, and Mormons are just kind of following that pattern. Now Catholics have become, because of Robert Orsi's work, have become a little bit more acceptable. And I think Mormons will follow that. But there's no one out there right now. The field is very much, as you said, it's going to be hard to find a chair in Mormon studies just because those full professors to be wooed just aren't there.
The longer I sit out there, the more questions I have, so I figure I've got to do it now. One, how do you deal as academics with Mormon studies being an orphan of religious studies? Where do you actually publish? Is Journal of Religion, would the Journal of Religion, for example, take your article? My guess is no. That's just my sense of it. That's why you had to create, you know, your own little symposiums and all of this other stuff. Go to, you know, the Association for, you know, Religious Studies or something and try and talk about it. I don't know if you can. That's question one. Two, and probably more serious in some ways, is the issue of group studies in the academy. Twofold. One, with money. For example, at Oxford, with their Islamic Studies program, because of who it is funded by, they cannot do some of the things that you would want to do as a professor. So you have that issue with money. But also the issue, and it's something that you had said, I'm in a Jewish studies program out in New York, and we have this problem a lot. What do you do about the communal issues of who should be a professor in a Jewish studies program? Should it be a Jew? Does a Jew have to be a Jewish studies? I mean, I think that's absurd. It doesn't have to be Mormon, it doesn't have to be Jewish, but it comes up even when we filled a chair for biblical studies. The question was asked, and don't ever quote me on this, they asked, should this be a Gentile or a Jew? That's what they asked amongst the faculty. I find that absurd at a university. So the question of whether, you know, we should be raising up, I'm not so sure I buy into that notion for the university. It doesn't have to be Mormon. The guy who's doing it could be a Sikh. Who cares? If this is what he wants to do, this is what he wants to do. I don't think that it has to necessarily come from within the Mormon community any more than a Jewish studies student has to be Jewish, even though in our department everybody's Jewish who does Jewish studies. So that's the other question.
Well, the Jewish studies analogy is a good analogy, though, because who is really interested in the biblical studies cut across all Western religious traditions? That's true. But if you're talking about Jewish studies, quad Jewish studies, if you want somebody whose expertise is Talmudic Judaism in the Middle Ages, who is going to be the people who are going to be doing that work for the most part?